thoughts before you by the help of the Lord. I love truth and teaching or preaching, whichever my work is. I love to prove anything. But I would like for you to be willing to accept some explanation without giving everything or having everything read. Willing to take it that way, I can get a few thoughts before you that I believe the Lord would have me leave with his congregation. Now the general thought tonight would be the church of God, of course, and how to live in it, and our privilege in the church of God. To make the long story short, I would like to discuss and brief this thought that God, in dealing with his church, in every age, Old and New Testament, even down to Eden life time, have always supplied grace, strength, and power according to the age, place, and condition of God's people. Which I mean to say this, that God deals with the church and the individual in this order. If your trials are many, he'll increase grace accordingly. Then if they double that, grace will double that. Then if it tribbles, his grace will tribble. Hence the Lord is able and equal to the needs of his people in every age, in every continent, every condition or circumstance. If we only can believe it. I might read a little of my note to get a few thoughts into your mind. Now, if God promised a blessing and we came from our righteousness, now you know this Bible, 18th chapter of Jeremiah, God was changed from the blessing and it said to be a curse. I think we can accept that. When God tells us through his prophet that there'll be a great falling away, amen, the great falling away will come, it is not that God wants it, amen, but God is only warning you as to what you are about to get into. I want to get that for you. Now, if we take the warning and meet all the conditions of God's Word and change the condition that caused God to give the warning, then the threatened judgment will not come, but a blessing instead. That's a little closer to what I want to say to you. Now, I will say something else. We should be the most encouraged and deepest of all saints. Somebody said, what's he talking about? As we have the history of all the saints before us, their success and their failure. Amen. Either one is profitable to us. And why that did succeed or fail, that's proper for us to know that. Amen. I think if the present generation in the natural world do not exceed the generation before, they haven't done anything. We ought to begin where the older generation brought us to and go farther than that. Amen. Then we are profit by our mistakes, our successes. That's why I said we should be the most deepest of all things. Now, I'm going to guess a little at this point. But most people guess it about like I do that I talk with. I would guess that this world has progressed and advanced more the last 100 years than it did in the 5,000 years before. Keep in mind, I forget. But everybody I talk with that have studied history and all, they're inclined to guess with me. The last 100 years. In that space, we went from the horse and buggy to not only automobiles, ships, submarines, and planes, but rockets. And suppose they put a man on the moon and walked on it. Amen now. Now, I brought that in for this reason. We must remember that sin and evil have kept pace with the progress of this world. Right along with it. I mean, going to the moon and all that, sin have advanced just that fast. Kept right up with the progress of the world, sin. Since sin have progressed that fast, and sin have not just stayed out in the world, sometimes creeping into the church and caused trouble and discouragement and misery. Here's the thought. If we live in a world that is advancing that fast, and sin is moving right along with it, amen, that tells me that if you're going to get to heaven at all, you've got to go deeper than what you expected of the pioneer saints that we almost read it. Praise the Lord now. All right? In order for the church to even survive, just live, keep saved, in this modern and fast-moving age, may have to go deeper in the Lord than the saints did in any other age of the church. Some of us, all brothers, tell me, you know we can't equal Brother Warren and them, Paul and all those people. But those people said wicked men can increase, and the world will get wickeder. Even Christ said it. They spoke of a time that would be more wicked than the age we live in, more deception, more cunning. Well, how am I going to survive if I be any less a saint than what they were? Let's face it. I'm not talking about just keep a profession. I'm talking about get to heaven. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Amen now. All right. I want to get a little more before you. The church is equipped to take care of itself in every age, condition, our condition and circumstance. The church is equipped to do that. Your physical body, it's already built into your body. You don't have to add anything to it. To adjust itself to many severe shocks. Strike a person a blow about the head so hard until the misery and the shock is more than that person can live under. Nature will put them to sleep and call it unconscious. Isn't that right? And they'll out for a long time gradually come back out of it. It's already built in. I'm a person that's going to be easy to kill. I baptized 48 one time, I believe, at Bakersfield, in the winter. Walked right out in the water, it felt like ice. But you know, I had to stand there quite a while. I believe within a minute or 2 minutes the most, amen, my body adjusted itself to that cold. I didn't even feel cold. There wasn't anything added to me, it's already built in. Amen. If you notice it, now I labored in such a way from normally eating. I wouldn't eat over 2 meals a day. But I went out with the maturing one place while they were working, and I rose with them and with them, and I ate 3 meals a day for a while. When I come back, the system calls for food. That shows I adjusted to that and readjusted, had to readjust. Now the church can adjust itself to any condition. We sit in this place here and worship in peace, honorable to go to church. If the time would come that was a crime to go to church, the ministers picked off and beheaded and slaughtered one after the other, the church would quickly adjust to that and would rise in spirituality and roll right on. I mean the church now. If we're going to be the church, we must expect to go deeper in the Lord than what we commonly been expecting to do. I said that way. All right? You can keep saved and in the church and stand through any trouble that might come. If any, it might not be. Christ promised that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. It's Matthew 16:13-19. We're getting to the point we might kind of dwell on a little. Someone turn to that. Matthew 16:13-19. Now the church will stand forever in that Daniel 2:44-45. The Holy Ghost, our Holy Spirit of the truth, the ruler of the church on earth, and will be in you and abide with you forever. That ought to get the job done, doesn't it? Now, here is what I want to say. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's actually the part of that text that I wanted at this time. Notice that word, I will build it. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The word prevail means to succeed in overthrowing it. All of hell shall be arrayed against the church and attack it in every age, but shall not prevail or succeed in overthrowing it. I will build my church. The second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place and so forth. And the Holy Ghost came from heaven as a sound of a rushing and a mighty wind, filled all the house where they were assembled. Their patterns were in cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were devout men out of every nation under heaven, and each nationality of people understood them to speak in their own language wherein they were born. Hence, from that great outpouring of the Holy Ghost, there are people from every nation under heaven who received the gospel. Thousands of days. The church was founded here on the earth then and began to spread. That's the church on earth. May I say to you that there's two phases to the church, the visible and invisible. That part that's in heaven and that part that's on earth. Paul spoke of the whole family in heaven and earth. The invisible part of the church, God did not leave it to other people. He runs it himself through the Holy Ghost without the aid of human agency involved.
But the visible phase of the church, God chooses to run it through the instrumentality of godly men and women. In other words, an assembly of people assemble together, no matter what name they bear, whether it's the church of God, evening light, or whatever you call it, if the Holy Ghost does not control that body of people and have not free course among them, that is not God's church. Amen. Hence, on a congregation of people, whether it's in a local assembly or on a nationwide scale, is not God's church by congregating themselves together, taking the name church of God, amen, using the Bible as a code of law. But they must have the Holy Ghost about in the heart, and the Spirit of God actively ruling and leading. That constitutes God's church. Therefore, there's no congregation is a church of God without the God ruling in it. But he has another side of it. No matter what God's doing on the earth, how great he's doing, that's not the church unless man is involved in it. Amen. In other words, the church of God denotes a matrimony between God and man. It's a combination. Praise the Lord. In other words, you don't pick any woman out here and say, there's a bride walking along. She's a bride only after she's been given to man in marriage. A body of people is God's church only after it's married to the Lord. When God works independent of all human agencies, we call it the hand of providence. When man works independent of the Holy Ghost, it's just a body of men. When the Holy Ghost possesses man, praise the Lord, man acts and moves on the Holy Ghost guiding and anointing. That's the church. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Which means this, there will be a desperate matrimony between God and man. And God lives in man. The Lord Christ says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The tabernacle law is with men. It's God's church when the Holy Ghost possesses men. But I want to keep this in mind. God's way of running the church on the earth is through human instrumentality, through spirit-filled people. God was using angels long before the new church was come. But God will use the men now. Amen. And the 10th chapter of Acts of the Apostles, an angel visits Cornelius, the centurion, and told him to send get a man named Peter. The angel sent for the man. When the man Peter came and talked to them, they were filled with the Holy Ghost while he talked. Somebody said, I got a vision of the church. Oh, it's beautiful. Man has nothing to do with it. God just runs himself. And I'm glad I did it. I got that vision of the church too. But I also got a vision of the next phase of the church. That visible part of it. That I can look at it and see it and tell you if I had to go to find it. If you'll notice it, down to the ages, way back in the Antediluvian age, God always identified himself with man on earth. I am the God of Abraham, I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. He identifies with a man on earth. For God to establish his tent on the earth means this, that a matrimony took place between God and man. And God worked through and with man a congregation of people is not the church unless the Holy Ghost controls it. Anything God do is not the church unless man's involved with him in it. Keep that clear in mind. I can't say what I'd like to say tonight, but I'll say a little bit. The point is this. You're alive today, sitting in this building, living in a time where if you can only receive it, I can receive it. We have privileges we're probably overlooking it. Someone turn to the first chapter of 1 Peter, verse 9 to 12. Listen. I'm going to use one of my familiar parables. I lived in Bakersfield already 34 or 5 years. They have a nice museum there. The children have been there. School has carried some there. I've intended ever since I've been there to take a look at it. Those things interest me. Never saw it yet. A little park off down there with some pretty interesting things in it. I worked there many years ago, and I thought and leave here to go see it. Never did go till somebody else comes out of town and see it. But to that one. But as a boy, I read in the redwood trees in the northern part of California. Lived there 13 years and didn't see a big redwood tree. Finally, I advanced north to see the tree. But they were there, wasn't it? Follow me now. The trees were there. In my time, I was here in the States, but didn't see them. There are things in God for you and for me. And you may have boasted your parents in the faith. You've been for years, but still there's some things that God is overlooking here. That's for you. I mentioned once today, I think, I'll miss it now. In the 19th chapter of Acts, the Holy Ghost was very much in the world. Thousands of people filled with the Holy Ghost. Churches in various parts of the world. Paul was traveling over the field and came, was it Ephesus? Somewhere around that. And found certain disciples. And said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, we haven't heard. Do what? Let me be your Holy Ghost. That didn't make it not so, did it? The Holy Ghost is in the world, all around, close to them. Thousands of people filled with him. Healings and mighty works for the Holy Ghost. They didn't know there was the Holy Ghost. See what I'm getting at? Paul had informed them of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. There's a privilege in the Lord for you and I today. I'm talking about this day. What is this? August, September, what? The last day part of August. 31st anyway. There's a privilege for us today. And many people overlook it. Now, read this text for me. In 1 Peter 1, start with verse 9. Receive the end of your faith. Even the salvation of your soul. With salvation the prophets have inquired. Those prophets searched diligently. Who prophesied the grace that should come unto you. Those prophets are searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which is in them, did signify. When that Spirit in them testified beforehand, the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that should follow. And whom it's revealed, not unto themselves, But unto us they did minister, saying with the now report
unto you,
by them that preach the gospel of the Holy Ghost, 10,000 heaven. That's a plenty. And the angels that I look into. Now then, the very prophet that predicted that Christ would come, prophesied of his suffering, his resurrection and ascension, and the glory. Let us follow that. The prophet that told about it was so wonderful that he desired to look into it. And wondered what manner of time would that be when men were born in sin, prone to sin. When a man is born of a woman, must die, rise again, and so affect the destiny of man until men would be redeemed from their sin. And the glory of his father, the prophet that told about it, it is so wonderful. He desired to look into it. He wondered what manner of time it would be. And even the angels desired to look into it. It must have been wonderful, wasn't it? But now, when do you think he's talking about? Was it talking about when you get to heaven? Was it talking about paradise? He was not. He's talking about the time you and I are living in now, when the blood of Jesus Christ was shed on the cross for us, when he was buried in the tomb, when he arose the third day, and ascended to the throne of God, at his right hand now, interceding for you and for me. He's talking about that time. But listen, dear one, we're living here now, isn't it? And why don't we get concerned? Like the prophet was. Why don't we begin to look into it? Like they wanted to do. Even the angels desire to look into it. Let you and I look into it, son. Let us notice the time we're living in. If 12 men or more was living in a time when the Holy Ghost was in the world, and churches established in many lands, and thousands of people sanctified, and they didn't know the word of the Holy Ghost. They didn't get the Holy Ghost and tell the fire with one. Do you see what I'm trying to talk about? They didn't ask for it. They didn't expect it. They didn't know it for them. Now, if you and I, in this day and time, just kind of throw up our hands and sigh, we're living in the wicked age, or it's a bad time, and we can't raise the children anymore, and they can't have all in the home anymore, and everything is gone. It will be gone, because you'll be defeated to discouragement. But listen to me. If you and I, glory to God, will recognize the all-important point, the fact that Jesus Christ, according to the promise of the womb, had lived and died and rose again, and on the right hand of God, on high, interceding for you and I, glory to God, and his blood just as effective tonight as it was then. And he said, when he established church on earth, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I don't think he's talking about that part of it up there in Chenery, but I mean, he's talking about on earth. I believe men on earth filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe as long as the world stands, they will never succeed in stamping it out of the air that he lives and lives, filled with the Holy Ghost. And of all the Jews, oh glory, that I said here, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I want you and I to recognize in thought that the church of God can be a power in the earth in all ages. Now listen, one more thing I want to say. I'm just giving you a few high points. Someday I want to preach on this subject. And that is it. I want to notice this one point. That God, all down the ages, have identified himself with a God and a man on the earth. And very early, he began to identify himself with a body on the earth. That's God's people. And I want to say, today we speak of the mighty Edenite Reformation. I do not think it's correct to call a Reformation the church, but a mighty movement of God in the church. I believe that would be more than correct. If you notice it,
down to the Old Testament, sometimes of a 40 years, God's people stood clear with law and statutes, the presence of God in their midst. But when that generation passed over the scene, in that transitory period, between the old and the young generation, there's a falling back and a drifting away from the old standard. God has raised up a prophet, a king, as the case might be, and restore the nation of Israel back to the original law and standard. That the Reformation in the Old Testament church that continued right down to the Dark Ages, and sometimes to the very small remnant that's brought out, but always got out of ways of bringing the church out. But I want to say to you, in our time, I mean since Christ, there have been several reformations, arose and failed. That all evidence proves God was working that. Listen to me. It is very important for a mighty reformation movement to sweep through the land, because people can see that and behold it, and it has its impression. So if the devil can, he'd like to overthrow the church. Failing in that, his next step is to drive the church underground. Now that's the next step, but you'll live right on underground. And it did in the 760 years of the Dark Ages. She's very much alive, though she's driven underground, had to hide out, here and there, had to pray, and all those things, but she still lives. Now the devil's point is this: I cannot defeat it, so I'm going to drive her into the wilderness. Now listen to me, and throughout your land and community, God wants congregation. That's right. A city, the family hill, cannot be hid. And we find in the first chapter of the name of night, about the first verse, many seconds, find that from it to make sure we have the right reference here. That under the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, called these saints, and made us call on our Lord everywhere. Wherever the church, under the church of God, which is at Corinth, a certain city, and the sanctified folks down there. Now God wants the most communities in which he abided people that absolutely accept the whole truth, stands out as a burning light in that area. Now listen there, Lord. We want to see the key saying, let us, every one of us, be humble enough to suffer and bow the cross, that the work of God as a body may function and move far like an altar. To do that, we must die to our own self, our own feelings, our own rather than the church may move out. Now note the fact that God said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That makes me believe God have a church now, and always will have one when Jesus flips the clouds and comes to his church, right on the air. I mean that. Now I'm going to mention a few things like this, just to mention a few people spotted through history. I'll go clear back to Enoch. Enoch lived at a time when the world was very wicked. Both Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, had sinned. And sin must have been increasing fast, because our first son, Cain, was so much of a sinner, he murdered his brother. All right. At approximately 1,000 years after Adam sinned, Enoch had lived, he lived earlier than that, he lived so close to God, 365 years thereabout, lived so close to God that he did not die, he just transformated. Now that's beautiful, isn't it? Now you know the world was pretty wicked 1,000 years after Adam sinned. 1,000 years in peace. But he lived that close to God. Let's go a little further in history. About 1,600 years afterwards, there was a man named Noah. At a time when the world was so wicked, so God described it this way: the imagination of the thoughts of men's heart is evil continually, and it grieves God that he made man on earth, and violence has covered the earth, corruption on the earth. And God said, I saw a man. And when he actually brought the flood out of all the world, there were just 8 people left saved.
It must have been a wicked one.
Father, what you see? Now the man named Noah, persecuted his generation, ran in the middle of all that wickedness. What's that telling me? God can keep you in here, anything. That's what I'm trying to bring out. Now skip way down further in history. We'll find it over in the king. It tells about a man named Elijah who lived in Israel at a time when maybe Judea, at a time when the nation is backslid. Even the king and the queen is backslid. Now you know that's getting pretty bad. King Ahab had married a heathen woman. And listen, this woman led him astray. And she got mad at God probably. And decided to destroy them. And killed up all she could and drove the others underground. That's what happened now. Drove the prophets underground. And the governor of King Ahab's house, a gardener man, took 100 prophets and separated them in fifties and hid them in caves and fed them to keep them alive. There's just one man recorded that can move around in the field. And he lives out, I guess, in the woods. And he just come out and he built your gang and disappeared. His name was Elijah. Now this man bare mind in a time when the very nation of Israel was backslid. And I acknowledge it. I took the land. And false prophets. And I believe Queen Jezebel had killed off or driven the cows underground and collected up 850 false prophets of priests and fed them that table, made them honorable. For a certain number, prophets of Baal and prophets of the grove. She was feeding them. And this man of God, Elijah, lived in that time. But I want you to know this. He lived so close to God, so finally he just translated. Didn't have to die. I want you to understand, when he said to Jesus of hell, shall not prevail against death. There will never be a time, if you will, that you cannot live the life and live close to God. God will keep you in the midst of any condition that you fall into. This man lived so close, so finally he was out, he prayed to heaven close, and the rain stopped. Great famine in the land. And after so long a time, he come out of his hiding. He had to hide a while. Come out of his hiding and appeared before the king. Said, why do we halt between two opinions? Come up on Mount Carmel up here. Bring all them prophets up there. Let's see who is God today. And if whoever God, let him answer by fire. And he went up there and said, you build your altar first. Let them prepare outside of it. They prayed all day. Cut themselves on the Baal and tried to get an answer. And the prophet finally teased him a little bit. Maybe he's sleep. Maybe he's traveling. When they paid all in failed, then he got ready. For his sacrament. And when he got ready, he filled the altar. You know, they put down the altar. Got that back in shape. Dust trinkets all around it. Put barrels and barrels of water on it. Wet it up real good. Then call on God. And fire came from heaven. Consumed the sacrament, licked up all the water, and took the dust along with it. I want to tell you, glory to God. He lived in that time when the world was so wicked. But God stood by. Then he said, don't let a one of them false prophets escape. Catch any one of them. Kill them. Get them out of the way. I want to tell you, this man lived in that time. Listen to everyone. You and I can look around. The world is so wicked. And the Bible says, evil men seduce us. Go west and west and go do that. But I want you to understand Elijah's time when the nation was backslid and false prophets in the place of godly men ruling. And I want to tell you, that man lived a life in the midst of all that. Then the Bible said, that's the respecter of the presence of God. If you want Elijah's blessing, live an Elijah's life. What a Moses blessing, live in Moses' life. That's the respecter of the presence of God. Now let's bear this in mind. You and I are living now in a very wicked age. We're never falling away. Never slackness on every hand. But it's because we let it be that way. Let's unite tonight as we go down to this place. Let us renew our covenant. Not to get trained of joy and faith. But for people walk with God. A complete abandonment to his will. A cutting loose from every word to cry. Everything is Hindu. Let God have his way in your life. Now, balance in mind. I believe I'm just giving you a few little high points and a few thoughts that burn in my heart.
that I want to get over to God's people. Now I'm going to take another little lesson here. We're going back again. We're going to come down to history. I'm going to notice something here. Listen, dear one. I want us to bear this in mind. Any age, anywhere, under any condition, if you meet certain conditions, you'll come through the victory. Oh, yes, you will. We were talking about gold one time in a certain area where certain things was rising and falling in price. But somebody said, not gold. Says, where's money anywhere? Said, gold is. And I noticed one time, they're talking about houses, a little box house and this kind of house. But finally, someone come up with a sound native rock house, built to specification, beautifully decorated, and all in it. They said, that'll cost money any place. But I want to tell you, this wonderful salvation, it doesn't rise and fall with conditions and circumstances around it. If you get it in your right, it'll stand anywhere and any time. Amen. Amen. There's a way that is free from sin. I want to touch a little. The church is to stand throughout all ages, everywhere. Did you notice before the time of Moses, men more or less done what God told them to do? I mean, so far as a body, I mean, that was bodies, but I mean a body in the sense of without the Moses time didn't exist. Abraham's household become a body of people under God. Melchizedek, priest of God, king of Salem. That includes the body of people. But to have a whole nation with laws and statutes, complete, operating as an institution, so to speak, as a body, we'll say it that way, as a nation, it is out the Moses. But watch what I'm trying to talk about here. We notice this one thing. Before Moses' time, God blessed Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as they prayed to God, and everything they met, God stood by. That's where it is. Now after Moses come on the scene, we find that in Egypt, that God stood by him in unusual miracles, even to the extent of letting his rod turn to serpent, he's destroying the enemy serpent, plagues of every description. Open the Red Sea and let it come across dry shot. Heal the water along the way. Give manna from heaven. Win battle. God is looking at you. Later on, Joshua, who led them, began to meet other types of burdens. And God gave power to him to overcome. Clear on down to the Old Testament, one after the other, God gave him power. Now I'm going to go back to the priesthood to bring this up. The priesthood was established with Aaron, the first high priest, of the tribe of Levi. And men brought their confession to the priest. He more or less interceded to God for him. And the priest was required to be very rigidly qualified. And the high priest, very much so. Everything, the way he married and his family and all. And he stood in a consecrated place to intercede for you. That's clear. But when you come over to the New Testament, God did not take any power from the priest, New Testament ministers, a New Testament Holy Ghost minister had immense power, amen, now, to intercede for souls on the priesthood. But the difference is the more power given to the man. Praise the Lord. Why? He needs it now. We're calling for holiness every day. Not just remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, but every day. The ultimate God prayer to our father Abraham, that he'll grant unto us that we, being delivered of the hand of the enemy, might pray without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of the days of our life. Now, for the man to live that kind of life, he needs some power to go to God himself. Amen. Now, he can't wait to go through the priest now. I've got to get to God every day. So in Revelation, the 5th chapter, I believe it said we are kings and priests under God. All of us. In Abraham's time, the time of the children of Israel, it is only the tribe of Levi that is a priest. Amen. But in our time, every member is a priest. Did we see something yet? Here's what I'm trying to bring out. You're living in a more wicked age. You're living in a time when you need to live holy every day. So in order to do that, God has added more power to that. Made a priest out of it. A priest is one that can intercede to God. To me, all of us so we can do it. Because you're now living in a time when you've got to live holy. Then Jesus said to Satan runs that even the people in time of Sodom and Gomorrah and Noah would rise up in the judgment. I would be more tolerable than the people in that generation. They're more wicked, wasn't it? How about condemning them? But God gave them more power than me. Even the lamp, they can receive the Holy Ghost. He's sanctified. You think of the priest as a saint, but all of them are saints now. Amen. All of them saints. All right, I'll just check that a little. Now we're going a little further down the line. You're now living in a time when the world is more wicked, probably, on a worldwide scale, probably more wicked than it's ever been since the time of the world. On a worldwide scale. You're living in a time right now when people don't mind just killing folks for thrill. You're living in a time when the wickedness is covered the earth. When false religion is prevalent than that, this will be good. You live in a time when there's a multiplicity of so-called churches of God. Amen. That wasn't covered in the days of the Lord and do now. Most times when it says the church of God is what you thought it was. But now, you got to say which one? What's that? What else? Amen. Now this is why I got down here to tell you what I want to tell you. I didn't want to tell you this, I've got it here. The Bible mentions in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians about gifts of the Spirit. And among them it mentions discernment. Now God has some people that's gifted with discernment. That's no question about it. But every saint has to have some discernment to keep faith. Some people have the gift of faith. But everyone has to have some faith to keep faith. That's true. And so on. But that discernment is one thing. Now here's what I want to say. If I had time, I would give far more proof, but I'm just testing it so I can hold out here for a second. Inasmuch as we see that God in every age have increased power, wisdom, and grace according to the condition, and made God's people sad. Didn't he do it? All right. Now you live in a time now that people ask you which one. Isn't that right? Yeah. Is you with certain fidelity? This is the time today, right now, the last day in whatever it is, 31st of August, 1969 AD, when even the laity needs more discernment. Yeah. And I believe God will grant it. I believe if you'll ask for it, God will give every little young thing so much discernment of the Spirit that they can smell a false spirit.
Amen now. I believe God will do that. I believe if you'll believe this and ask God, he'll do it. You remember the folks didn't know there was the Holy Ghost, did they? Somebody said, I didn't know that all of us could have this in it, but you can. God hasn't put no seal on any of the graces, has he? Yes. That's a good point. I'm putting true value on that. All right. I saw too many good meaning people seem like they stumble into error. That's true. Just stumble right on into it. Somebody look like anybody else, but see that they are completely out of the order of God, and they just back them and go on. They have no defense. I'm trying to tell you that you need discernment of spirit, a clear spiritual of the ability to sense wrong and right. You need that. All of us need it. If you ask for it, God will give it. All of God's people in the time of the Old Testament didn't have the privilege to go right to God and all that power, did they? They went to the priest, he prayed for it. But you have it now, then. Now I can say the next thing I want to get said here tonight. There are numbers and numbers of people that worship in the church of God, among the saints at least, that's living a pretty fair Old Testament life. Amen. Huh? He thinks I'm far below that. And living in a time when the Holy Ghost has been right here. Do you think those folks in the 19th chapter of Acts that hadn't heard of the Holy Ghost, do you think they're sanctified? No. And they wasn't trying to be. They didn't know it was falling. Amen. There's lots of people today that haven't got no discernment at all, Holly, and they don't know it's falling. I want you to understand heaven's why we started, and the ministers look like they're getting fewer, though they're exceeding the many other spirits, and getting fewer fast. What are you going to do now? See, lost? No. Humble your heart to God, ask him to give you a keen sense to discern wrong between wrong and right, and God will make you certain smell a foreign spirit. Get sense it right quick. Something wrong with that. That's true. That's what we need today. Is a God-given ability to sense right and wrong. In the 5th chapter, if I remember correctly, of Hebrew 11, 12 to 14, Paul said, when for the time you ought to be teachers, still have not need to be taught. Some have become by the meat milk all over again. Oh, Lord. Got by the meat for more milk. And Christ is not a baby that needs milk and can't live with the milk. He's sick, is it? And it said milk is for the baby. It said you need to have a sense of exercise to discern both good and evil, so you can eat some strong meat. Now, a little baby is troubled with pleasure with it. But a great big old baby that no one can see everything you're doing is a problem. Yeah. He can look at you and see you putting the coat on, bring me going, and start yelling and hollering, jumping off the bed, running with big old baby. The same in the church. This great big old baby is around and talking about you, the preacher. You're supposed to do this and do that. Yeah. Now, the babes don't tell you that. They just want you to tell them what to do and what to tell them to believe it. Amen. Now, just like you take a little baby and dress it and clean it up and lay it down and smile away that. That's raising this little innocent thing. Just pray for them and instruct them to take it and glad to have it, to believe you know what you're talking about, and to go on to God. But them big old babies sitting around eyeing and criticizing your mood and talking about what you ought to have done, and I haven't been to church in for 2 weeks, and if you love me that girl, you've been out to see about this. Them big old babies is the trouble. Got to play by giving some more milk. Had to give them milk again. That's how I set them up and give them some sick. I was going to walk by and I didn't even speak to me. Big old baby. But let us have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It's yours if you'll ask for it. The reason I keep begging up those 12 men that they hadn't heard of the Holy Ghost. And you know that I'm speaking to them. There's some people in my cell tonight, I have never heard that. That it's my privilege all of us have deserved it. But God doesn't withhold any blessings from anybody. You can get all the love you want, all the discernment, all the power, if you're humble and consecrated, get it. There's no ceiling placed on that. I want to tell you today that we started out to make heaven our home. Let us don't travel around and watching and picking flaws and getting offended and not getting on it and missing your head. You better let everybody alone, let them run for themselves. Better get your mind on heaven and live this life. And pray that God give you power to discern both good and evil. That you'll be able by the divine unto the Holy Ghost to speak wrong from right. Amen now. That's truly our privilege. You may not know a lot of things, but the Spirit of God can so give you the keen sense of discernment. And then you can know a thing needs lessening alone for now. That's what it means. And unless you get it, you could kill off all your older men for a little while. Working to death. I mean what it said to death. Put him in the grave earlier than this goes. If you get an experience yourself, I believe your ministry will live longer and be active longer. I believe in a self-propelled experience. I got that thought for a time that I don't know the other. Saw a whole bunch of planes fly, one behind the other. I wonder why they're all trailing different ones. After a while, one took off and went on out across out of sight. And the others were slowly sailing around. As I looked back, the one man slow. The first one said, those are gliders. So there's an airplane pulling it. Now it's cut loose from it. And you're watching it gradually glide on down and land eventually. He could travel along with his pool. Amen now. There's too many gliders down in the Mendoza. I'm in the that way. Pull them along, all the go. Too many trails around here. We need something to set the pail. Have its own engine in it. Praise the Lord. Operate on its own power. Start and stop his own power. God wants you today to not just step back on a good preacher to pull us along. Once you get this thing, take it or leave it by the power of God. That's the need of today. I mean, some people have come up for God and seem to think you're leading back on the preacher. When you bring everything and tell the preacher what you pray. But God wants you to understand you can pray. And pray on anything. Pray through the victory. And come to church with a testimony this day. Now listen here. I want to leave this prayer on earth. As God and the aviators have supplied power, grace, and wisdom upon the very to do the same for us today. During the 1260 years, God appeared to the church in the wilderness. All through that, God gave grace and protection. When God killed the people of slaughter by the multiplied thousands, millions upon millions, to see the testimony with own blood, God gave them the grace and the faces like a daily routine. Oh, yes, sir. God did that for them. What's the matter here? Never found out. The more I kill, the more I scatter. So I'll give you another plan. We just make everybody real religious. Even the king on his throne. Even the sheriff religious. The cat gun on his side. Make everybody religious. The religion on the other hand. Make it honorable. You have to be religious for holding office. Religion, religion, religion. And recognize everybody's religion. We're not religious now. When he got it that way, he killed more than any other way. begin to snap away this spiritual life with a profession still there, if you please. That's the job he's got doing now. Now what did he say? There may soon be flooding again, but when that stops, there'll be far more spiritual people. Oh yes, there will. But if it never stops, let you and I today remember you're living in a time of coldness spiritually. It says in Matthew 24:12-13, says because that iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's what he says. But he was to endure to the end, the same tell me things. You're living in the cold day. Now then, you're going to need to go to God as never before. Then am I set you on fire. Now, they'll take an illustration. If everyone around you have no heater, it is pretty warm. But if all our heaters go out, then yours have to burn still higher to keep you warm. Let's remember that. You're living in a time when it means more to find God in your soul, that you may be a hot, burning instrument in the hands of God, right in the midst of a crooked and debased nation, among whom you shine out of life in the world. God wants that way. Let us remember that. All right, then since we come down to this point, let us pray, and don't fail to do that. Don't be satisfied with anything less than full, complete victory, power over all the powers of hell, right in your time. Don't be satisfied with less than that. It's yours for the asking. If you only concentrate to get it. But I believe that people think and get it easily to get it. But you got to concentrate to get it. And we need it today. Let you and I, if all the people in this building will act and measure up and find that place in God, that deeper place where you have power, victory over the spirit of the age, I want to tell you, enough right in this room to turn this nation by his own effort, in a fist, to spread the gospel. Let us do it. Let no door open this place with little old feelings, souls will hate the feelings. And they haven't had my forgiveness yet. And so didn't speak to me. He just looked the other way, walked on by, was not through with it. And all kinds of things like that. Let's get all that through and learn to be old enough, having that time to be born with it and live a life spiritual. And don't go around trying to make other folks live right, leave it to yourself. With the mighty power of God, and you'll reach the wrong. Amen. Now, I believe we can close with this thought. Since we see, I believe I've made that clear briefly, that God will give us grace and power and strength according to whatever age you happen to be living in. It doesn't matter how bad that age is either. It don't matter what it is. It'll give you power. Give you grace. Now I mentioned John the Revelator in the New Testament as things begin to deteriorate and get wicked. They begin to kill the apostles. And they took John and they said, as the tradition said, to put him in a cage and they bought in all houses. And he wouldn't boil. He escaped with some mysterious way. Couldn't boil a man to God. Now, I don't know what they're doing with this fellow. So the rock out of over there, or Patmos. Take him out there and leave him. But I've never made a stretch to see what was out there except it's a rock out of it. But in any case, maybe they think it's starved to death. Maybe the beast is devouring. Maybe die lonely. But whatever they had in mind, they put the man of God out there. Let's watch the story now. All right, put him out on the rock out. They got him now, didn't bother him, but he'll die now. When they put him on the rock out, God began to entertain him out there. This modern day theater would have a lot of things on God. God began to give him pictures. And that's beautiful. God will take care of what you have to be. Now, if he hadn't got on the rock island, I don't know for sure whether he could see all this or not. Do you know you're going to get quiet sometimes? Disconnected from some things dear to you? The short one that I like to mention is in the 5th chapter of Revelation. When God threw on the screen, man of God way out there on the rock island now, and And he looked on, and there it was, a great white throne. Hope rose. God the Father sat on it. The book in his hand, written with in and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. With a mighty cry saying, who's able to open this book and seal that off? May the senses none pass, not even in heaven or earth or under the earth. John began to weep. Who's going to open that book and seal out? But finally a message comes to him, cried out, weep not, John, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book. John began to weep. Who's going to open the book and seal out? But finally a message comes to him, cried out, weep not, John, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book. So Lucy sealed that off. Then John thought he took a look, and looked in the middle of the throne, and see the Lion of the tribe of Judah. When he saw him, it was a lamb that had been slain. But now he's standing alive in the midst of the throne. He reached out and took the book right out of the hand of God the Father into his own hand. And rejoicing, broke out throughout the whole universe, praising him. Isn't that wonderful? In the Bible, in Matthew, the 20th chapter, he said to his disciples, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. When, since I just rose from the dead, do you ask one to teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, I'll be with you always to the end of the world. Now, when did he see that? After they banished him to the rock out of there. That fellow, they wouldn't bother him, they put him out there rid of him. But God began to talk to that man. The entire book of the Revelation showed him the history of the church from the time it began on earth, traced it all the way down, and it went on back to heaven. I want to tell you, that was wonderful. And this man of God could see all of that. When did he see it? When it took him away from his church, away from his people, away from out of the island, God began to show him more than he ever saw. I want to tell you, your God has given power into the age, place, and circumstance, if you please. We find the case of Daniel, when he was a little young boy, took that bar away from home, carried way on down into Babylon, into a far land, and this boy took a stand for God, wouldn't drink his wine or eat his food, just kept right true to God, and the boy ended up finally cast in a lion of den because he stood true to God. And when he put him in the den of lions, stayed all night, glory to God, and the king walked out the next morning, Daniel, can your God still deliver you? That king will live forever. God sent the angel down here and locked the lion's jaw. He wouldn't have experienced that if he'd have stayed out of that den of lions. I want you to understand, God gives grace for wherever you be and whatever happened to you. Let us remember that. Somebody said one time, please not give up, Brother Chandler. I got all the way to the space. Nobody could pray for me, and I just didn't have the grace. But I want to tell you, dear one, and what did God say? God give us grace to humble, and he said he give us more grace. In talking about James 4 and 7, give us more grace. Listen, dear ones, every one of us, young and old, God give you power to live saved, if you will. Just like Elijah in a backslidden nation, the king and queen back there. God give that man power to walk with God. Enoch, back in that wicked time, how to walk with God. Noah, but only eight people on the world, and 15 to 98, was saying that means stick true to God. Let you and I today, in all your trials, recognize the fact that God will stand by you anywhere you go. If you cut off from all the people of God, everything that falls from around you, God will supply it. I'm going to tell you one. When every natural blessing that belongs to you falls from around you, God moves in and supplies something better than that. Now this man, way down in a line of deer, in a line, with the line, not six miles ahead, but lion to come in. And I want to tell you, but God sent an angel right down there with him. And listen, down on those lions could eat, because when he brought it out, casting enemies down there that condemned them. Before they hit the bottom, their bones are broken. I want to tell you, take the three Hebrew children in the third chapter of Daniel, because when I stand in God, they would not bow the great image set before him. To banish those young men to the furnace of fire, heated seven times above an armor. The fire was so intense, tell the strongest men in the king's army that cast them in there. They were bound in that coat. The fire destroyed those men on the outside. But listen, gentlemen, the old king went down out the wire. I suppose he would see what the remains looked like. I was burned up. He took a peep into the furnace,
And the boys was loose walking around. I want to tell you, all this fun too is bringing those straps loose. Those straps will bind you and hem you. You're paying for more grace for high place in God. But you're paying for the fairness. Seven times hollow mammals. And I'm going to tell you, glory to God, when you come out of it, those straps are loose. You're running to God now. But listen, damn one, when they're trying to come out. But I want you to know them in their eyes. When they came, took a look in all with them. There's one with him look like the Son of Man. Christ had not come to me yet. But I want you to understand, as I sometimes, for my own benefit, when I'm alone, seem like I want to imagine that Jesus Christ is the right hand of God. Took a look down like he did Stephen. Remember when Stephen being stoned? See, Jesus rose his feet, put him back to jail, and let him look and see him. I want to tell you, the Lord received my spirit. But I want to tell you, when Daniel, and read Hebrew 2, in that furnace of fire, seemed to me like, I want to imagine something like this. And I'll think no wrong in the imagination of my own God that way. See like and see Christ. When he rose his feet, said, Lord, he's putting him in the furnace. I'm going down and being there with him a while. Glory to God. Down, come. And I saw him walking around with the boy in the furnace. Glory to God. I want to tell you down love. Grace is equal to anything you ever need. Any age, any place, any time. I can reach him. God, give me power and grace to live in. That's what the man today. He said, God, I don't have faith in that. It's bigger than I ever know. He can be 10 times bigger than you. God can give you power. You'll do just the same. He said one place, take my yoke upon you, let him ease, I'm meek in the open heart, you can find that for your soul. And my yoke is easy, and my bread is light. Now listen, damn one, I made this parable some time ago. I don't know how many farmers is in here. I'm going to use this and call it a devil tree. I was raised on the farm. I remember one time we had different trials going, but finally we needed a team. The only two mules left were a great big mule and a little small mule. I don't believe it's over half big as the other. So we hooked them both to the plow. And the clearest in the center of the double tree. So each horse was pulled even. But we moved it way over here and put it right along there. And hooked it up that way. Hooked the big mule on this end. And the little mule way out there with all that leather. And we said, get up, Beck, and then hook right along the road. I want to tell you, glory to God, the same way. The Lord and I, we team together now. I want to tell you. Sometimes the Lord is so heavy, but if I'm a God, but I want to tell you, he just moves you well on the end of it. And he takes his part and walks right along. We are pulling this load. I want to tell you, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I want to tell you something else. Sometimes people go out and get a yoke their own, hang it on themselves. Then the Lord just says them, no, he's not. You hung a yoke on yourself that God did not put there. And God will have mercy on you to have to get out of that yoke. I want you to remember, anywhere you happen to be, whatever the condition might be, God will give you power to stand. Too many weaklings there and died. The old trial, this round crying. I remember a lady one sister one time, I believe it was a big sister, called me up, said, Brother Cameron, would you come there at once? Don't tell your wife. I think it might be discouraging to see her going like this. Be right quick and get over here. I wondered whether her husband beat her up. And she said something about her husband. I stayed over there right quick, not knowing how I was going to take hold of it. And I saw her standing in the yard. Get up! Come around to the back. I walked over to the back yard with him. She said, you see all this good God in here. I had to feel good. And see how my husband let me die. She seemed to thought I'd do something like that. Oh, she's hammering fun. Black people begging stuff on this deck. If it died and dried up, you ought to kept the victory. Oh, yeah. Victory is mine. You know what I want to tell you? Too much, yeah, of people getting all pinned up behind some little something and can't stand a little trial. Heaven's where they started. The cross was as bold as whatever. Suppose my Lord Jesus Christ, with his face in the cross, and the fence swept began to roll down. Till my soul is exceeding sorrowful even to death. Suppose he said, I just have that grace, I'm going to give it up. No, he didn't. He went again before God and prayed. It's the second time he prayed. The third time the angel came and said to him, when he come back to sleep, don't take your rest. I want to tell you, ready now. He went to the cross and died to get out. When you face the cross, when it drives your knees, things that cancel out all the wishes you had. Something you said, remember, bow. Go right down on your knees and bow for Christ's sake. He'll see you through. Now, what I'm trying to leave in your mind is this.
that God will supply what's needed at the time of need. It doesn't matter about the changing of the age. If you meet the condition, you can live. And if one you, or 10 you, or 1,000, God will give you this. Now let you and I, as we go down to this place, if we've been doing, quit trying to be a part of the world. Don't make no effort to be accepted by the world. Don't make any effort to do it. Put all your effort in being clever with God. And one more thing let me say to you. Quit trying to fight your battles. Quit trying to have your way. Quit trying to condone your feelings. Crucify all of it for the glory of God, and God will bring you through. God bless you. I'll be right back with you.